And this is Media Geek, your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Rees-Bonnell, and I'm your host. And you're listening here on WNUR FM, Evanston, Chicago. Chicago's sound experiment at 89.3 and on the web at WNUR.org. And Media Geek is online at MediaGeek.net. That's home to the Media Geek blog. The radio show is at radio.mediageek.net. And if you have any comments about the program, please send them to me, paul@mediageek.net. And the Twitter feed is at twitter.com/mediageek. I've sent out a question earlier this evening about what maybe you think about the radio business. Did Clear Channel and Big Radio ruin the future? Does radio have a future? You just heard Jerry Del Caliano say he doesn't think so. Radio Insider, a man who dedicated much of his life to the medium of radio, says he thinks that radio does not have a future, especially with the new generation. What do you think? Got a couple of answers here. Will underscore M at Twitter says that he thinks that, quote, Clear Channel and Big Radio failed to stay competitive with Apple. iTunes was a major media killer. Clear Channel ruining local stations hurt them too. Yeah. Hannah Sassaman, who used to work with the Prometheus Radio Project, and which is really considered the Johnny Appleseed of low-power FM, bringing new community radio stations to cities all over the country, or helping to do that. She's now with the SEIU in Pennsylvania. But she tweets back, radio is a localized, and in the case of community, a power collective voice, also free. It's needed. And I got a direct message from my pal at Pirates Week, Ragnar Dennis-Jold, also on Twitter. He's asking us to discuss more consolidation to eke out the last dollars versus the failure of the corporate business model. What's the future? Well, you heard Jerry Del Caliano talk about it. And I'll probably opine a bit with what I think after the interview. And we'll hear Jerry actually talk a bit more about what he thinks radio could do to help save itself in the future here on Media Geek. And I also want to tell you that I'm really glad to announce that I'm part of a new group blog project about radio, along with frequent guest Matthew Lassar, who is an instructor in media history at the University of California in Santa Cruz, also a frequent writer and contributor to the tech news site Ars Technica, as well as an author of two books on the history of Pacifica Radio. He's the guy who, he's the real motivator behind this project, which we call radiosurvivor.com. And that's where we're really going to be talking about the medium of radio, which we think is still vibrant. And we're really glad to have a third co-blogger come on board, Jennifer Waits, who has her own blog called spinningindie.blogspot.com, where she covers college radio. And she is a college radio enthusiast. She toured the studios of WNUR last fall. And I didn't meet her then. I learned about it after the fact, and I got turned on to reading her blog. And since I've been following it, and we've exchanged emails, and we brought her on board as well to get this perspective and the vitality and really the great cultural and informational resource that college radio is. So the three of us will be blogging about radio, about its future, about many different aspects about it. Critical, but also sometimes cheerleading and getting around not just policy, but, you know, the cultural aspect of radio and its meaning to people and their lives still in this day of iPods and maybe on your iPod, even though Jerry Del Caliano says that that the young generation now in college isn't even interested in listening to radio on their iPods or on their iPhones. That's what we'll be blogging about. Already, there's several great posts up and made its debut this week. That's radiosurvivor.com. And if you got comments about tonight's topic, please do send me a tweet, twitter.com/MediaGeek. So let's return to the third, to the next part of my interview with Jerry Del Caliano on the state of radio. Still a need for radio, though? I mean, is there still there's not a fundamental need in a local community for a radio
station?
Why
is there a need for, tell me this, why is there a need for repeater radio, which is what we have now?
Well, could there be a need for a different kind of radio?
Well, wait a minute. Now, are you telling me why is there a need for the radio that we have, or are you asking me do we need a different kind?
Well, I mean, we have, for instance, we have on the non-commercial end, we have public radio, which in a lot of ways
has... National radio.
There is national public radio, but there are still local stations that do local news that will have local programs.
Yep, not a lot, though.
Not a lot.
Not a lot of local.
Not a lot of local. There's a little bit left. I mean, is it possible that we still need radio, even if we're not getting the radio we need?
No.
No. Okay.
So there's an earthquake in L.A. last week. I live in Marina Del Rey when I'm out there. And that's about where it was. 5.0 and 4.0 aftershock. Do you think people turned their radio on? They've got their Blackberries, their iPhones. They go to the Internet. And I heard the argument, if the power goes out, you're out of luck, but the radio will still be there. Radio isn't going to be there. Central Command is sending programming in from other cities. I just did an interview with a reporter in San Diego a couple of days ago. And there's a Clear Channel news station down there, which is the emergency news source designated by the city. They've got 3 news people in the station. Overnight, they have nobody. And the news comes from Los Angeles. So what I'm saying to you is, I'd be just like you. In the fantasy of my mind, I would say, of course there's a need for radio. Damn it, there is. There's a need for that good old-fashioned local radio where we know what happens across the world and across the street. But we don't. Because the radio industry has inflicted a fatal blow on its own business. And it did it by letting a generation skip radio. And if you held me to the fire and said, Jerry, get to it right now, what is it? That is it. You can talk about consolidation, which enabled it. You talk about some of the not ready for prime time players that are running radio groups right now. You could talk about Wall Street and its greed, Gordon Gekko and everything else. But the fatal flaw is that you don't neglect the next generation. And the radio people, as arrogant as they were, these consolidators, they'll always have radio. You'll always need radio. Well, you know what? I've worked with the generation, this next generation, and they not only don't need it, they don't want it. They'll only listen to it when they have to, in a car, when they can't get a Wi-Fi signal, or they can't listen to their iPod. It is not a choice of theirs. And older people, and I'm going to scare you with this, in the past year, older people at a rapid rate have been adopting what I call the change maker generation, adopting their Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just going online sending stories about what happens when you get old. This is what a nursing home looks like. Would you expect older people to do? No, they're friending people. They're spending maybe a half hour a day doing what the change makers are doing, and that's another half hour that comes out of what? Radio listening. So I'm telling you, the biggest mistake is not knowing your generational media. Steve Jobs, I don't know him personally, but I'll tell you, he is a tremendous study for us. It's in his DNA. It may not be in ours. We need to learn what he does before we go off and make decisions. I'll give you an example. In radio, their idea of a digital future is to take their terrestrial radio station and put it on the Internet. Now, I'll tell you from working with the next generation is they don't like broadcasting. they don't have attention spans long enough to listen to someone broadcast to them. They've been raised stopping, starting, and time delaying and deleting their content. So they don't want it. We think, well, we'll put it online. Only about 3% of all radio listening of a terrestrial station occurs on the Internet, even after all these years. In fact, if you send them an hour program, that's too long. So we're going off half-cocked trying to figure out how we can save radio. And I always used to tell my students, I said, you know, back in the early 1900s, the railroad barons ran everything in this country. You couldn't go anywhere or ship anything without a railroad. In fact, the country became the country when East met West and that golden spike was driven into the rail, into the railway tie. And these guys were at their peak. And, of course, where are they today? Well, they're not here. Why? Because they failed to realize that they were really in the transportation business. They saw themselves as being in the railroad business. Radio sees itself being in the tower and transmitter business. What it really should see itself as is being in the content business. And wherever technology and sociology takes us, that's where we will thrive. And that's the sad story of all of this. Missed opportunities, probably because of the greed of Wall Street, probably because the arrogance of a bunch of not-ready-for-prime-time players in radio who got full of themselves and didn't keep an eye on these kids that were coming up through the ranks, making major mistakes about how radio works best when it's small and local instead of big and national. And that's how you get the mess you have today.
I think you've hit the nail on the head so hard, you've just about broken it.
Well, I do have that reputation.
but I mean that as a compliment.
And I'll tell you, I have friends of mine who are in this business who are hurting right now. And I mean, and through my website, I have met even more. His careers have been ruined. His families are, you know, adversely affected. Children who can't finish their college educations. People in their late 40s and 50s who can't even go get another job in the industry they've worked in all their life. This is a human story. And the thing that bothers me the most about it is it's all unnecessary. The radio could have easily made the transition. You haven't asked me this question. You probably would, but how it should have played out.
I was about to ask you.
Yeah, I knew you. I knew that, didn't I? Is that the radio stations, being local bastions of entertainment and information, connected to the community in every way, with the local bank that they sell ads to the local communities, and so on, should have been the drivers of the technological and sociological changes. And they would have been. If I owned 7 radio stations and I had 3 children, 2 daughters and a son, and 2 of them are in the business, how long do you think it would take them to make Dad look smart by saying, you know, we need to have music discovery on the air. We need to be doing this and doing that. But when you're a consolidator, when you answer to Wall Street, when you're Plan B never existed. Plan A was to build it and sell it again for more money, as all venture capitalists do. They're stuck with it. They're stuck with this mess. Some of them are going to go bankrupt. They're never going to get their money out of it. Lee and Bain, the people that bought Clear Channel, they should have gotten out. My advice, guys, get out. Don't buy it. They bought it. They had a lot of time to think twice and leave. They didn't leave. They bought it anyway. Now they're stuck with it. But what could have happened is these radio stations, small groups of stations, 5, 10, 15 stations, innovating their way into Apple applications. We could have developed podcasting, which I've always said, and if you've read me for any period of time, know that I believe that is really the next radio. And it isn't radio on a podcast, by the way, and that's where I have a bone to pick with NPR. I think they do radio on their podcasts, and I wouldn't do that. I would do radio the way Gene Shepard did radio on WOR in New York. And for those of you who are listening who want to know about that, just go look Gene Shepard up online and listen to his Christmas show that exists on the internet. 45 minutes of entertainment in from his mouth into our ears. You see, that's where we could have led the way in that area. Social networking. If you own a local market, you could have a local social network built around new technology, but you can't have it if you're a consolidator and all you're interested in is buying these expensive properties that you drove the prices up on so that you can sell them for even more. We have missed an industry that is in place now with talented people who have production values, who know content, who could have been driving all of this. That's really the saddest commentary. These folks could be working in a thriving business. And if someday terrestrial radio became unnecessary because nobody listens to it anymore, they don't want to carry it around, they don't want to listen to it in the car, it wouldn't matter because the people who made terrestrial radio would also be making content for new devices. This is a tragedy of the greatest kind because it's good people with roots in local communities ravaged by Wall Street, misled into believing that this is going to be good for everybody in an era of deregulation just at the right time in history. And it was the perfect storm, as I said earlier, for the hurricane. The hurricane that came blew away everything that we know. And a new generation was growing up. Nobody was looking at them. And instead of coming home from school and mom and dad were not there and they had nothing to do but watch television, they had their computer and then they had email and they had instant messaging. And before you know it, they had cell phones. And from their cell phones, they could text. And God, texting is God's gift to the whole generation. And we want to put a radio on an iPhone. Do we think that's the answer? So it really isn't. And the only thing we haven't covered is what will happen. And I think what will happen is you'll see the demise of the radio industry, unfortunately. You'll see a generation of young people come along who'll be entrepreneurial, and they'll do things that are similar to what radio did, but they'll do it for the sociological standards that are going to be necessary, the attention span and the interest and so on. And I don't think there's ever going to be a need 20 years from now for somebody to hear a radio station start doing what it does 24 hours a day. This is a world where you click and you listen, you click and you watch, you click and you read. This generation grew up on that. Why would they want to go back to turning on a radio and just listening and having to wait? Why would they want to even go to a TV? You know they don't. They go to their laptops and they watch whatever television they want. They'll watch Hulu or short videos on YouTube. Why would they want to call a talk show when they can communicate on Facebook? I have 1,400 friends on Facebook from my website. That's a lot of people, and they contact me. It's a different world. You know, why would I need to do what I did in the past when I can utilize technology to fit into my life? So I think that the future will be bright for young people coming of age who will master their technological devices and build things that cooperate with the sociology. I usually cooperate with the inevitable. What you won't see is the steam engine coming out in the morning. You know, steam engines, you have to oil them in, 60 different places before you can crank them up. I wrote the other day that if I came to your railroad today and I said, I got the newest steam engine you've ever seen, the most fuel efficient, boy, does it burn fewer logs. And it's gorgeous. It weighs less. You would kick me out on my butt. What are you doing, steam engine? we use diesels. We're just moving, freight around. And that's what we're doing in the radio business. We're coming in with a steam engine when we should be looking at a jet engine, an airplane, an A330, something that is, this is the only industry that is marrying its technology to its detriment. This is the only industry that is disregarding its sociology to its detriment. And for that, I'm very sad, because a lot of great people are without jobs or are soon to be without jobs in a proud industry that was a great standard for localism.
Well, Jerry, I really appreciate you sharing both this history and your insight about radio and the future of content, really, of mediated content.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. Well, I'm a lover.
We're almost going to get a repeat there. Jerry Del Caliano of InsideMusicMedia.com talking about, the future of radio. And this is Media Geek, media freedom and our right to communicate, a weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Rees-Bunnell, and I'm your host. Media Geek is online at MediaGeek.net, home to the Media Geek blog, radio shows at Radio.MediaGeek.net. Send me comments, Paul, at MediaGeek.net, or tweet me on the Twitter. I often, many weeks, ask questions about the show's topic to get your feedback. Trying to make it a little more interactive, and on the weeks when I've got some assistance here, when frequent producer Eric Yarnell is here, we'll take your phone calls live on the air. It's tough to do, though, when you're cruising solo. Eric's graduating from college tomorrow, so congratulations to him. Also, congratulations to our station manager of WNUR, Taylor Deer, and other great WNUR staff who've put in many great years here, and some of whom will be sticking around. Eric's going to be sticking around at least a little bit while longer to work on Media Geek. But that said, if he were here, we'd be taking calls as well to get your comments. But in the meantime, you can always do the Twitter, twitter.com/MediaGeek, or email me. I got one more comment about whether or not the case for radio is lost with the internet generation, folks who are now in college and in high school. Mitchell Shapanchik of Chicago Media Action, who Twitters at MSSZCZEP, making it real easy on Twitter, says, change the policies to improve radio, and I'll bet that you'll improve your chances of averting a lost radio generation. And I have to say that I tend to agree there with Mitchell. I acknowledge that college students and high school students don't listen to radio probably in the way that I did when I was in college nearly 20 years ago. The internet, iPods, network gaming, having a mobile internet, having just internet at home. There's many more choices for entertainment, for learning about music, for learning about culture than there were when I was in high school. And that's inevitable. You can't get away from that. But I don't necessarily agree that that young people are inherently against a medium like radio, a radio that is passive in a way, or less active because you don't switch back and forth or don't have quite as much control, because I think that there are people who still enjoy being surprised, who still enjoy no longer having control over exactly what will play. Hence the popularity of random on an iPod. Hence the popularity of still watching television, which may surprise you at times. And that a lot of radio having lost its audience has to do with radio not being very good, for the surprise being gone, for the localism being gone, from, the thrill of being able to call the DJ and make a request and hear it on the air and hear yourself acknowledged is gone in most commercial stations. It's something I remember doing when I was a young person, local radio stations where I live, which were by and large locally owned, as they would have been here in Chicago and elsewhere. But it is difficult to come back from that brink. And it's difficult to see how a Clear Channel, which has squeezed its stations to death of staff, of talent, can walk back from the brink. And it very well may not. And I guess the optimist part of me, the part of me that's looking on the bright side, hopes that perhaps it will be a bit of the calm, the storm before the calm, shall we say. It will be a bit of the leveling of the playing field that will allow new approaches to come forward, that will allow stations like WNUR to be more of stations like WNUR, as perhaps we walk back from the Holocaust that consolidation has wrought. And as radio, I hope, begins to be more technologically savvy, it doesn't have to be an alternative or a competitor to online forms so much as a complement, that they can begin to work together. And I don't know what form that takes, but I do know that stations that I mentioned before here, like WFMU, a community radio station in New Jersey, which has had a strong online presence for about 13 years now, is at least trying very hard to figure out what that looks like. And it sponsors its own free music archive, which is a curated collection of music which the artists and the labels they're associated with freely give away, the type of music that's played on WFMU, because the idea is that you listen to WFMU because you like their taste. They are taste makers. You appreciate what they bring to the fore, and therefore, if they curate music, you'd be interested in that music too. I think that that's the role that radio played for many years for many people in popular culture, is taste makers, breaking artists, breaking hits. And I think it still can do on the non-commercial spectrum, and maybe could do in the commercial spectrum. It's unclear how that will go. But I'm an optimist about radio. I think a lot of you out there are. And you're still listening to radio. But, you know, commercial radio hasn't been good really for a very long time. And that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. And one last note of interest here. Last week's guests, the folks from Radios Populares, are holding a Making Waves workshop where they're actually going to demonstrate some of the technology behind low power and community radio. It's coming this Sunday, June 21st at 1 p.m. at Mess Hall, which is a collective arts and culture gallery at 6932 North Glenwood Avenue. That's in the Rogers Park neighborhood of Chicago. And, all right, we're getting here to make the transition here to the part-time suckers. All right, changing, just starting in a different intro?
Yeah, okay.
All right, technical issue, but it's okay. Don't worry, those of you waiting for Jikus and the gang here. It's going to be coming up in, just a moment or so. And that brings to a close this edition of Media Geek. Tune back in one more week for news and views on our media environment. In the meantime, check out Media Geek online at MediaGeek.net and radio shows at Radio.MediaGeek.net. Send any comments to Paul@MediaGeek.net. Check out my new group blog along with Matthew Lassar and Jennifer Waits. It's Radiosurvivor.com. All about radio and the survival of this medium. Radiosurvivor.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is WNUR FM, Evanston and Chicago at 89.3. Up next, as promised, I'm not lying, it's the Part-Time Suckers.
All right, let's get started.